You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hello, and welcome, or welcome back to Black Hair in the Big Leagues. I'm your host, Celicia Thomas. And today I'm really excited. I'm excited to talk to my bomb ass guest today because she is straight up the bomb. She's a model, a full blown model, y'all, a director, a student at Fordham University. She's a stylist with the bombest eye for fashion, a full blown activist, honey, Jimmy Award winner, and a leader. She's the creator of an organization that she founded called Claim Our Space. Y'all help me welcome beautiful tour fam, Marla Lou.
Hello, hello. Thank you for the alarm with such an entrance.
Oh, good morning or afternoon, because you are in New York City, right?
It's still morning. I feel like my eyes are still just trying to peel open. Here we are. Good morning. And hallelujah, we are here and alive. Thank you so much,
Celicia. Hi, I'm so, like, thank you for joining me. Marla, I am truly in awe of you. Can we just start with how we met? Can I tell you my first impression? You were in the elevator, you were about to come in as a replacement in the track that I did on tour. For Beautiful, you were getting fittings in the Broadway building. I saw you in the elevator. First of all, you're this tall, gorgeous Amazon. You came off as shy. What was that?
I said the legs will definitely add a bit of height. Yes.
Honey, it is you're stunning, okay? You seemed shy and peaceful and calm and but quiet. Okay? Fast forward to 2020. Uh-huh. I find myself zooming in on your photos. You seem powerful and loud and taking up space unapologetically. You are this fierce. Your waist said, snatched. Honey, she's the waist said snatched, and I am so in awe. I'm like, can we talk about, first of all, you were already beautiful when I met you. Let me just establish that. But can we talk about this glow up?
Thank you. Listen, I think we could take it from day one. I'm thinking about exactly what you're talking about when you first met me. I was in a very different space. I was coming straight from Fordham, by the way. Like I like commuted from the D train uptown. For me to book in the middle of the semester like that, I was like, all right, so I'm going to claim these blessings. It's going to be hard though for me to take my exams and my homework and everything on the road with me. But if this is how, if this is how the universe wants it to happen, I'm going to just jump in. Why not? I guess I could give you, we'll start with the tea from the top. Yes. I was raised a Jehovah's Witness. So like a lot of things were different in terms of my upbringing, in terms of, claiming space as a woman, claiming space as what I now have fully accepted to be my pansexual identity, my pansexual self. Those were things that I was not able to talk out loud about. And I found myself juggling 2-3 identities. Like I was one way at home, one way in school, that, you know, it definitely takes a toll. But it was beautiful. The Carole King musical, that tour that really gave me the wings. And, I was able to live for myself for once, without any apology.
On tour, because there are no rules on tour, folks.
Not a single rule. And Marla at 20 had to get a fake for me to get up in these clubs every single city.
Oh my gosh, you what?
I was 20 when I booked. So the way I had to get a cute old New Jersey fake.
No, what? No.
Oh honey, I couldn't even get into Simone's goodbye party in LA, like in San Diego. Was it LA? It was San Jose. Was a city. Oh. I got out there there. They were like, oh my God, we're going to sound the alarm because, you know, sis, also in the Lucille track. And they had chose a club to go to. And I roll up. I'm like, oh, I must be able to get in. I look old enough, right? The way they stopped me at the door after everybody was let in. And then this was when I really saw family, like Chosen Fam for the first time. Everybody looped back out. Simone was like, nope, we're going to go to the swing bar next door. And so everybody made that U-turn, filed out. They were like, they're not letting Marlon.
With you.
Mm-hmm. Like wow. Within the first week, I was like, this is family. This is exactly what that's about.
That's exactly how I feel about beautiful. Like, I feel like we are truly family.
Exactly.
That's awesome.
So, to like bring it to 2020, I guess. A lot of trials and tribulations, adulting, figuring out what my truth is outside of the scope of the whole Jehovah's Witness upbringing. And my choice to leave after like a year, I was, you know how the tour closed and then opened back up again.
Yes.
So in that little break, I had finally taken an actual break from the religion. Like I spoke to the elders, sat down and was like, this isn't me. It never really has been me. And that choice, like that mutual conversation ended with my parent, my mom and my sister not talking to me anymore. So it was like truly me finding my own path, even like living through my truth, no matter what. And so going through a year after that in school, I was living with Avery at the time, like again, family, always close to me, my chosen fam, for me to find my own voice. And once I found it, I was like, there's no shutting up. And of course, when all the things that were happening in 2020, thinking of May, you know, seeing death after death of the Black family, I was like, I don't know very much about activism because I wasn't raised that way. Like anything with civic engagement, like the first time I voted was actually in the primaries this year. Finding my voice in voting and civic engagement and activism, like all of that happened in literally, or what feels like a really fast time. But I think me training myself to find my own voice and to know that I need to speak up for, or not just myself, but my entire Black family, my entire Indigenous family, all of those different groups of people that have been shut and pushed to the wayside for far too long. I know what that's like personally. And if I can construct some kind of vision, and which is how Claim Our Space Now was founded, in like the heat of it all, really ideating and seeing ways that we can just come together and be united. So
it's amazing.
That glow
it's amazing.
A whole lot of different things, but it definitely stems from me just stepping out and trusting myself.
And finding your voice. And for those who are listening who don't know, can you say what pansexual is?
Yeah, it means that you fall in love with hearts. It doesn't matter what identity they fall under. Could be a trans woman, trans man, woman, non-binary, whoever's in between. I love who I love.
And so for... We love. We love, love, loves, love, love. All the love, okay?
Exactly.
As far as Claim Our Space, Marla, like, wow. What in the world?
I think that
it
a lot.
Just it just caught on like wildfire. I'm seeing pictures of you in the street with a colorful bra on, with a megaphone in your hand, with Tool coming out of your hat. I'm like, who is this woman? Who is this person? How did you just start? Like, I hear you saying that you found your own voice, but what was the day that you woke up and you're like, I'm going to start this organization? Like, what was that?
Well, I definitely didn't know it was going to be a full-blown organization. I knew that I wanted to start a collective with people in my network, because I'm like, again, this is all very new. The things that I've been sitting on in terms of intersectionality and finding voices within a movement are things that I've learned at Fordham, like a liberal arts education, I'm very grateful for. So I was able to see what redlining was about. A lot of the things that people were finding out for the first time in quarantine and at the top of this revolution to begin with, I had gotten an intro at Fordham. So like I was searching for more knowledge. I knew that I saw enough people definitely thirsting for that same knowledge as well, but just looking at Instagram, I was like, it's not organized at all. Like, all of, yes, there are national resource lists here and there are bail funds to donate to here, but we need to find a way to consolidate this stuff and really make a streamlined resource. And so this is what, again, the computer science brain, like the fact that I'm studying computer science has always been a mystery to me until like I was like, oh, so I was supposed to do this. Okay. So I can talk to the web designers to think about ways that we can streamline the new resources that we're going to be launching in 2021. It's going to be an incredible year. I can't believe.
I am so excited for you. Like,
thank you.
You really are a badass. Like, I know you from being a performer. And majoring in computer science, you're starting organization. Like, what in the world? Who the heck are you?
I'm just curious. I stay curious. I think I try and encourage everybody to do the same with whatever knowledge it might be. It could be like this jump into fashion, still a gag for me. Because I was like, okay, well, I was in my host gig after I came back from tour. And I heard enough people on the day-to-day be like, hey, are you, have you looked into this? And I'm like, no, I kind of just do musical theater, but thank you for the compliment. but then it got to the point where I heard it enough. I was like, okay, so am I missing out on an opportunity if I'm not just check, or like submit digitals or something, like look into this modeling
Speak
thing?
On it.
Yep. Is say yes. It's all, I think that that's the one thing 2020 has taught me, or 2019 going to 2020. Because when I booked New York Fashion Week, I was like, oh, okay.
Oh.
There's clearly truth to whatever these folks are seeing in me, things that I haven't seen in myself. So like, I'm only limiting, the only things I'm putting in front of myself are barriers, and I shouldn't do that. So I continued with shooting. I reached out to photographers I had been following for some time, and it would, I keep thinking about how I've always loved styling myself, but I've never put two and two together to see like, fashion is definitely what you'd be interested in outside of musical theater. Like the Jimmys kind of just put me on that path. And I was like, okay, so there's nothing else to it. Musical theater it is, done. and then life was like, hey, I think creative direction and trying to tell Black stories rooted in realness and rooted in, it could be in fashion, or it could be in the makeup. It could be in, it doesn't matter, but you're telling your own stories and you're not at the helm of a casting director and you're not at the helm of, you know, these folks that have been gatekeeping a whole lot, if I'm being real.
Gatekeeping a whole lot. I love that you laughed at like, you just laughed at like, yeah, this is a thing. And I just didn't even realize it was a thing. And it's been there the whole time. I think it's so beautiful. Like when everybody else can see this thing and you're the only one holding yourself back, it's like, oh girl, bye. We don't have time for that anymore. We don't have time to be holding ourselves. Everybody else can see the talent, but I can't. Literally, I'm preaching to the choir. I am saying this like I know this and I don't even take this advice. So let me take a moment. Let me take a moment and saturate what we're getting at and apply it to myself, because I am absolutely guilty of this.
We all
It's
are.
Crazy. I'm like,
today, even to like, I look back and I'm like, wow, 2020. I just said it. I manifested a lot of these things, like in terms of it becoming a Black Renaissance. There were things that I wrote down and wrote in chats with friends throughout the year that I was like, well, just because I said it out loud, truly, and it's coming to light. My vision board, I don't know, well, this is on voice, but like a lot of the things that are on this vision board, child, the playbill, I wrote the year I learned I could do anything. Did I know what I would be able to do? I had no idea what I was talking about when I made this vision board December 31st last year.
2019?
Mm-hmm.
Oh. I went
back and look at that vision board like, the power of manifesting is what I learned as well. Like it's, again, if you don't say it, it won't happen. If you tell yourself that you're going to just let that barrier sit in front of you and not look up above to the side of it, try to find ways to push through it, it'll stand there in your face because you told yourself that you couldn't do it. So flip that on its ass and be like, honey, I have what it takes and I'm going to do it. And that's that.
I'm like Queen Marla, folks. I'm so serious. I have so many chills and it's already cold in this house. And so I'm like, oh my gosh, how dare you? How dare you give me more goosebumps?
We're going to cut for a short ad break.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
Also, can we talk about these blonde locks? Are they locks? Am I seeing locks?
Locks, yes. I've been dying to get locks of my own for as long as I remember, like maybe in middle school. I was like, Mom, I really want to get locks in my hair. And then, of course, before I went on tour, I cut my hair. I started shaving the sides and things and putting color in. I've done quite a bit with my hair, I'm realizing. So when you invited me here, I was like, girl, if you were to ask me how many styles I've done, finding my voice, finding my look, finding all the different things, that's what we've been figuring out in these last couple of years. Right. But I'm definitely going to be sticking with for quite some time.
I think they're fierce.
Thank you.
You look so edgy and so like, it's a very unique look, mm-hmm. and you are pulling it off so well. I'm like, wow. Do you think that there is something to like cutting your hair or styling your hair differently? Like I was going down a rabbit hole of you before speaking with you today. And it seems like when you had your longer curly hair, that's a very different person than who I'm looking at right now. What is the unspoken that goes into when a woman cuts her hair or changes her style? Like, do you think anything about that?
The same way I was like, I don't know how I'm going to be able to tell you how many different hairstyles I have. When I do change my hair, it definitely aligns with things I'm going through in my life. Like when I cut my hair, that was right before I went to tour. I was like, I need something. I want to do something new. I've always felt pretty androgynous in terms of how I present. So like male, woman, female, in terms of whatever, fucking with the gender binary is what I'd like to just say. So when I cut my hair, I felt like I was feeling more aligned in that, that feeling and in that space. And then I started coloring it a little bit. I actually tried in Chicago at a not black salon, the way I asked for blonde, and the way, honey, that shit came out red. She gave me and actually the first night, opening night in Chicago, was supposed to be a color like this, but clearly okay. I wasn't ready for that, and the universe was like, nah, you're gonna get this pasty red that this white woman put on your hair.
Shoot, no.
I'll have to send you that picture, because I look at that and I'm like, okay, that's why I started wearing caps all the time. I was growing my hair out again. When I came back from tour, that was when I found the wig era. I found wigs by doing New York Fashion Week. The designer needed a specific look, and she said that she'd reimburse us for the wigs that we bought. So she was just like, find the biggest Afro wig. I found the biggest Afro wig, and ever since, and like, I started wearing it day in, day out as I was growing my hair out from the tour fade.
Wait. The big blonde one?
Yeah.
You were wearing this on a regular day.
Yeah. Honey.
You're amazing.
On the reg. That wig was on. I'd be showing
you. Oh my God.
on 28th Street every day to work for my host.
Wait, time out, time out, time out. Y'all, please. Pause. If you're listening to this, I need you to run to Marla's Instagram page so that you can see this wig that she's talking about. It is so bigger than life. It is so big. It's so much bigger than life. So to see that you were just like walking down the street, okay, let me go to Popeyes, let me go to work in that wig is incredible. Oh my gosh.
We like to make a statement. We love to say it with our chest. So yes, you're going to see this big old blonde afro. Thank you.
Wow. Tell me more. So New York Fashion Week, they were going to reimburse you for the wigs that you got. So you got
the biggest wig I could find. I got one in like a honey blonde, and then just the normal black, which was what the show needed. And then they teased it out nice, beautiful cloud. I remember I'm still trying to figure out how to get it to that state, because every time I wash it, it kind of obviously the curls come in and shrink a bit. So yeah, and ever since I started wearing it, people would be like, oh my god, yes, this is so cool, this is definitely your look. So, and honestly, I was hiding a bit of my own insecurity with my own hair, because I grew, my sister always had bigger hair. You always think, oh my god, yes, the bigger the curly, the curls are just better, better hair, light skinned, a lot of things I've internalized and since been working through. But when I was still getting those same compliments and kind of emulating what my sister might have had, and I was like, oh my, this feels so great. And wow. I definitely was hiding. I was hiding for a bit though. Like a lot of that trauma I hadn't worked through from a kid definitely came up for me. Wow. Wearing that wig every day, I felt naked without it. I was like, this is an accessory, and your hair isn't all that there is to you.
Girl, I can relate to mm-hmm. that. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I spent on tours when I started wearing wigs, and at first I was like, oh, this is fun. Can I pull this off as my own? And then it turned into, I don't ever want my own hair to see the light of day, so mm-hmm. I'm going to cover it up intentionally so that no one can see what my hair looks like.
That's right.
It's like a whole different mindset, and it is like it's a very limiting place. When it's okay, I think wigs are so fun, but when I was wearing them because I didn't like what I, it's a very different, the opposite of freedom for me.
Oof, there.
You know, and also touching on, and I'm always like, want to be, I don't know if this comes out messy or not, so forgive me if it does, but like, you mentioned like the whole light skin thing. And I think that is so interesting to this how, like, I grew up looking at these white people on TV being like, that is what beautiful is. And I am not that. And also into like looking at your skin, you've got this deep, beautiful chocolate. And I think that is beautiful. But media has said like light skin is better. We know that's not true, but that's what the media has said for so long. And it's just rewiring, just like we're saying, yes, white people are beautiful, but black people are beautiful. Like,
damn it.
Right? Like, across the shades, across the boards. And I hope that we are, I feel like we're going in this direction. You let me know what you think. Like, it used to be the looser the curl, the better. And now it's like, wait. It's time, past time to celebrate those with 4C hair, the kinky, like every texture is gorgeous. And I'm like, ooh, can we get to a place where if that is universally celebrated, mainstream?
Mm-hmm. And I think
so that no one has to question.
Mm-hmm. We're seeing that movement.
Like little girls.
Mm-hmm. In terms of being inclusivity across the board in the media. I think we have well ways to go, because I know that folks are going to be like, oh, it's just a trend. Black people go to the, not again. I'm not standing for that, honey. So, and also we're thinking about entrepreneurs like Rihanna, Tracee Ellis Ross, making products available for all different skin types, skin shades, hair types and shades, you know? So I think that what we needed to see was a bit more black leadership. Because obviously we know what the market needs, because we're seeing what wasn't being catered to us. So of course we're going to be pulling up with the most inclusive brands and the most inclusive spaces. I happened, again, like this wasn't my intention. CoSpace was very much founded in a darker place because I was just, my brain never shuts off in terms of like ideating. It's like, okay, I'm going to think about this and okay, that those two things match together, done. All right, I know exactly what I need to do. I need to call Dimitri. Dimitri's done organizing before. He can help me with trying to make something of the idea that everybody has a space in this fight. Everybody has a space in this revolution, whether you're a hairdresser, whether you're a youth, it doesn't matter where in the space you are, real estate agent, everybody has a space because Black people have been getting it from every corner and every facet of life. So it inherently, right, everybody needs to get involved. And ooh, so I knew that I wanted to make sure that it didn't become a moment, that the summer wasn't going to end and everybody was going to be
it's
like,
it's not okay, a moment. Moment is a movement. Wait.
Period. Yes.
You know what I'm trying to say? It's not a moment. I don't know the words to anything. But I'm like, I think that's how the line goes in Hamilton. It's not a moment. It's a movement or something.
Yeah. Lin-Manuel, thank you. So right. Making sure that the movement did not become a moment. And I had the right people. And I think it was like, I didn't want to continue screaming into the void of what I knew was wrong, what I knew could be fixed, and what I knew could be better, for instance. So I was like, all right, let's take those words and turn them to action. The same way I was like, any manifesting, start talking that stuff outside of yourself. Because that's, you shed the light, you don't know who's about to catch it. I didn't know Dimitri was going to catch it like that. I didn't know Izzy, Sarah, wow, a lot of people that are beautiful, jumped in very, very quickly. Deanne is chair of programming.
I love her. I had her on here, Deanne Stewart.
Yes.
I know.
The beautiful fam just came through in such a beautiful way too. Where was that coming from with that? It was more, oh yeah, inclusivity and really pushing, yes, towards a new world where we finally see our faces in glory.
You mentioned Black leadership. It's like when there's Black leadership, it kind of trailblazes and leads the way for everybody else. And then you also mentioned for the idea about claiming our space is whoever you are, doesn't matter if you're a little kid or whatever, you can claim your space. I would love to like think about the idea of the like marrying the two, Black leadership and no matter who you are, claiming your space, showing up in whatever space you are in. Because obviously, like in our industry, and you're in multiple industries because you are so gifted, all of the things. In the entertainment industry, we're looking at Rihanna, we're looking at Tracee Ellis Ross, and those are leaders for us and for everybody. But like there are people who, if you're listening, you can be at your day job. And you can be a leader at your job. Like, we can claim our space. I'm sorry, I'm trying to figure this out, okay? Like, we can claim our space wherever we are. You could be that leader for somebody else. Mm-hmm. You don't have to be famous to make a change. Mm-hmm. Ooh.
You do not need a name. And who's to say who gets a name or whatnot? I'm not assigning value to a platform. It doesn't matter. Like truly interrelational change, it starts with low. It's not low level, not high level, at any level. Let's just say that. Because the more that people understand that it starts with us, we are the change. It sounds so fucking corny, but it truly is.
We are the change.
For me to wake up one day and be like, no, I'm seeing what's happening with Breonna Taylor. I saw George Floyd. No, and George Floyd is really the straw that broke the camel's back because he looks very much like my father. And all these years, I've been avoiding the videos because I know what they do to me. And I couldn't escape George Floyd's video.
Me like, too, Marla.
Mm-hmm. Like anybody else. Yep. And seeing his humanity be taken away on such a grand scale and for people to really start. I saw the hashtags come back up again. I was like, hashtag Black Lives Matter is not going to change anything. It's been here since 2013. Like, yes, it's galvanized, it's united us, but where's the action? Where's the change? Where I think there's a disconnect, and we need to really alter the way that we're thinking about claiming space individually, and also understanding that we need to just have a reboot in terms of like the information that we know about the history of America. And that was all happening very quickly, and we needed to make sure that it prolonged for quite some time. So that's why the educational resource is coming up. We have action items to make sure that everybody knows that this can, I can make this a part of my daily life. Because it's not
honestly
gonna...
what you just said, like, not materialized it for me, but that's the idea. That's not the word I want to use, but kind of made it a more of a concrete thing. Cause it's like, yeah, well, what do we do? How do like, what, how do we move forward with action? And you just saying this really simplified it for me is like claiming our space individually.
That's an action.
And that's a really great place to start. Mm-hmm. And this is stupid, but I saw a meme.
Yes, please bring it in.
That said, whoever said one person can't change the world obviously never ate a bat or something like that. That's so stupid.
Yep, because they had no food. That is one action, ain't it?
Yes.
One single yes. That man claiming space, and not the way that he knew it would. What happened?
He impacted the whole world.
Like, shift.
The whole world.
And you had mentioned in terms of like intersection or seeing Rihanna and Tracy, and it made me think about how as Black women, we're intersectional. We have a lot of those intersectional identities that are like, have been historically seen as the lesser. So like being Black, so we hit it from racism. We get it from classism. We get it from sexism. And it's about time that there is a movement that involves everybody. Everybody's voice has a seat at the table, whether you're disabled, deaf. Accessibility has to be at the forefront of this movement here. So that's what Claim Our Space Now is really all about, making a safe space for us to come together and make sure that we're informed, inspired, motivated. Again, motivation is really what's going to be the key, because I'm tired. I don't know if you can hear it in my voice, but my ass is tired. doing a lot of this stuff on top of school. I'm getting like I'm 5 more days till these finals.
Ooh, when do you graduate, or are you set to?
The Zoom graduation will either happen in the winter or May. I don't care which session.
So that's
I'm
really
in.
Soon.
I'm, oh yes, class of 2020, 5 days away. I'll be done with my last.
Wow. That is awesome. I'm so proud of you. I'm like, I don't know if I get to say that I'm proud of you, but I am. So, do you know?
Because when we met, I was in school. So it's like this journey that I'm finally going to be able to put.
A long time coming, but you've been doing so many things in addition. So it's very empowering to see like you can live your life, you can live your career, start organizations, and also be doing school at the same time.
Do I recommend
that's an option?
No. However, if that is how the cards are playing out for you, know that it's possible that you're doing the right thing. and you have an army, you have a village, like my chosen family. If it weren't for them, honey, they truly have been lifting me up and getting me through every trial and tribulation.
We'll be right back right after the break.
Can I ask you a few more questions about your hair that I truly do want to know? When you said that you were going through that period of like, okay, covering up your own hair, were you able to move past that? Are you still in that place now? How do you feel now?
Right now I'm growing it out, which is why I put the locks in after I colored it.
Are those real locks or faux locks?
These are faux. Yeah. Which
pretty
shook up. That's why I love Marie on 125th. That's my girl. That's my homegirl.
125th is the street. Also,
everybody. I've never gone anywhere.
Harlem.
Vibrated. I'm glad. Really? Is it really that flesh? Yes. We love to hear this.
I think it looks fantastic. Yeah, I didn't know.
Perfect. Well, yes. I got it done on 125th. And to answer your question, though, I feel like I'm doing a lot of processing, a lot of altering, because I'm still trying to find what I feel the most aligned with in terms of my hair. I definitely like the blonde. I know that it's just going to be that much harder to take care of in terms of moisturizing. And I've always been hopping around from product to product. Carol's daughter, we got all of different things that I'm trying to make it as organic as possible too. Because I want to make sure sustainable products are what are going into my hair. So,
okay.
Yes.
When this pandemic kind of like when it's safe to come back to what we think of as real life, whatever that looks like. Mm-hmm. Okay. Couple questions. Will you continue pursuing Broadway /
how you
I want to know about your,
like, I haven't been thinking about this very much every day.
I know, but like, I'm curious because you have so many different alleyways that you can go down that you're currently going down. And right now Broadway is not an option for anybody. When it comes back, will it be something that you like care about or not?
Okay. So this is what I'm going to say here, because I need to make sure that whatever industry we come back to actually cares for my life and actually cares for the people that look like me. We're not your cash cows. Y'all have been doing that for quite some time. I'm not gonna have it. So I also need to make sure that these stories that are being told, I watched Euphoria, the special season or the episode that came out. And before watching it, I was like, well, looks like this acting thing. I don't know. We'll see. And I watched it and I was like, no, if this is where we're going and this is where we're headed in terms of like levels of storytelling and the writing, every piece just coming together to tell this beautiful, I'm not going to give it away for anybody that hasn't watched it, but if you haven't, take your ass to HBO, borrow somebody's account, watch Coleman Domingo and Zendaya, just a two-person scene the entire time. And you're completely enthralled by their performance. It's beautiful. It's truly masterful in all that it is. And once I watched it, I was like, no, you're not going to give away what your roots were, where you started. Like, there's no way. And you're not going to let anybody that might have been in casting or whatever dictate what you're going to be telling. And I may be able to announce, so I can hold myself to it, thinking about writing a pilot of my life story. So there's that. Writing things.
Yes, 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 yes. Literally, I love that you brought that up. I think that it's so great. And I'm so happy that you said it out loud because we talked about manifesting. Mm-hmm. And also, like, I've been thinking of doing something very similar. I'm like, don't ask me where to start. I have no idea where to start. But truly, if you've got a story to tell that you have lived, God has literally already written it for you. You lived it. You just got to get it on paper. Black stories. It's literally your story. Done. Done.
Crazy. And all I do on Instagram is say, share black stories, share black stories. And whenever it comes
what's to what's yours?
Exactly.
What is yours? Right. Wow.
I'm in a place now because yes, things are moving at rapid rates, but I've been keeping a journal. I think I have enough that I can be like, okay, where would I want to start? What lens do I want to share with the folks? I don't know. It's so weird. But
oh my gosh. That's fantastic.
So I can learn how to ride a pilot.
Sorry. That's New York City sounds, folks. Yeah. All right. We are putting that into the universe, writing a pilot. One other question that might be a trick question. What's your wig prep when you're doing a show?
The way, you know, sprayer down, and the way it was, I really got away with not doing anything, girl, especially.
No. No.
Pin that shit in the back real tight. Kelly, I'm ready.
Marla! Wait, was it long enough for pin curls on the side? Or no. That's...
And there were no
pin curls
up neither. So it was just...
I say pin curls because I'm still in that... Pin curls is so much better when you don't have our kind of hair. And so I need to get out of that. Right. What would you do now if you were in a show today with these faux locks? Would you take them out? Would you keep them in and try to negotiate?
Ooh, well, these were definitely an investment. So I'd definitely lead with that. I'd be like, is there any way I can wear my hair like this? Because the show I was doing before Rona came down, The Visitor, I was able to wear my hair as is. And there was only one wig that they were kind of contemplating about. So I would encourage anybody with our hair to lead with, hey, this is my hair as is. Is there an option for me to wear it like this in the show? Or how can we make a wig that can work with my hair? Because that's, ain't no white woman have to cut her hair or do anything to alter it to make it fit or make it work.
Right? So what I'm hearing you saying
is I'm going to say it with my chest. What can you do for me? What can you do for me?
And advocating for yourself and yes. I'm like, I'm saying this because I'm like, I've been hearing this a lot, but also it's like, I've not actually been in the position yet. And I'm like, will I have the courage to speak up for myself when it's time? Because I could be all big and bold right now, being like, I'm going to get dressed and down to my waist. And then, but I know me, I'm like, so can I keep these?
Well,
I gotta find the courage.
All of it's valid. If that's not your way of advocating, there are other ways that you advocate for yourself daily. It might not be in the hair department, but it could be elsewhere.
Okay.
You know? So what would you do? Would you bring her down? Would you cut her out, depending on what you have?
I mean, personally, I've always been in the mindset of Salisha, don't be a problem, don't add issues, conform, be as palatable as possible. Like before this pandemic, that was my mindset. Going into these spaces, I already know, how can I make their job as easy as possible? Okay, what do I need to do? Let me get my hair as flat as possible, whatever that means in that moment, without having to straighten my hair. That's where I draw the line these days, is I don't want to straighten my hair. But that back in the day, that was not an issue. I would absolutely do that. But I don't know. I think
there's just in terms of like really rejecting that colonial mindset. It's like, make it work. Not in my book anymore. Because that
not anymore.
It doesn't serve anybody.
I'm so scared and excited, Marla.
That's what new
things is. I'm excited because it's like, okay, all right. Come on, new world, but also scared because it's like, but in order to have the new world, we have to
change.
We have to change. Right.
Be under the covers and just living my best life in quarantine anymore. What?
I know. It's so weird. Somebody literally said the other day in a network meeting that I was in, like, hey guys, Broadway's actually coming back and we have to start planning for when it comes back, because it's a real conversation now. We cannot let it sneak up on us and not be ready. What? Like, haven't heard those words. Mm-hmm. So anyway, I just want to say, Marla, thank you. I am so I'm really inspired by you. You've got a lot of people looking at you, watching you. I'm one of those people. And watching you just live life out loud, being fearless and taking up a whole lot of real estate is truly trailblazing and exciting to watch, and I'm happy to know you.
Thanks. Why are you from top to close, you're just sitting here blowing sunshine over here. Thank you.
No, seriously, thank you for spending time.
I just can't say enough. I couldn't have done it myself. I can't do it without without the fam that's been there every step of the way. And I'm very grateful to be here on Black Hair in the Big Leagues. Come on, mama. You out here doing your thing.
Come on. Well, thank you. Thank you for joining me, girlfriend. Y'all, if you don't know, now you know, Marla Lou is a force. She is a force to be reckoned with, honey. Follow her on Instagram at MarlaLou_. Follow Claim Our Space Now at claimourspacenow.com. She is a whole mood, a whole revolution. Marla, thank you for joining me on Black Hair in the Big Leagues. Shout out to Broadway Podcast Network, to Wilton Music for producing my theme song, to Colin Tabor for editing this episode, and to you for listening. You guys, just so much love. I've got so much love, you guys. Please, if you haven't already, subscribe, tell a friend, leave a review, and also just spread the word. Leave me a message. I try to read everything, so... Oh, my heart is so big right now. Thank you guys so much. You're listening to Black Hair in the Big Leagues. I'm your host, Alicia Thomas. See you next week, baby.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com, and of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway, and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.